You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Gym Class for a Monday, July the 3rd, coming your way here in Eastern Iowa from our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Great to have you aboard here today. Scott Unash with you from our studio. Isaac on the other side of the glass. Pleased to have Mark Dukes back with us here today as he joins us from his home on the southwest side. We got a great show for you. We're going to talk some baseball with you coming up in just a little bit. Cal Eldred is going to join us. Usually joins us on Tuesdays, but obviously with the fourth being tomorrow, we had to move Cal forward or back. He decided to go forward. So we will have Cal joining us coming up today. The All-Star rosters are set, and that includes Cedar Rapidian Mitch Keller, who made his first All-Star team from the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about baseball as it nears the halfway mark, et cetera, et cetera. That and the weekend that was in the world of sports, and a fascinating Sunday, to say the least. Gym Class presented by DePaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DePaco.com, celebrating their 75th anniversary this year. And thanks to DePaco. Big thanks as well to our friends at X Golf. I was over there on Friday, and we had a great time at their grand opening. They had a terrific weekend as well over there in front of Fleet Farm. And yeah, want to thank them for having us out there. It was a great time on Friday. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That is also our phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, again, that is 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on this 4th of July week on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. As Isaac across the way, and Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids back with us today. Pleasant good afternoon to you. I hope you have the AC on wherever you're sitting today.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon to you, Scott. Everyone out there, it's great to be back. And I might say that was a really good remote from X Golf. Kevin Flanagan being interviewed, and sounds like quite a place.
It is quite a place. Gonna have to check it out. I've been there. We're gonna have to take you over there, get some swings in. So we had a great time over there on Friday. And Isaac with us. Hello there, sir. What kit do you have on today?
This is Netherlands.
Netherlands. I should have known by the orange.
Orange, yeah.
Should have known.
Hey, Isaac, was that the B team that beat Trinidad and Tobago?
Yeah. And what's his name? Jesus Ferreira. He scored back-to-back hat tricks. So I can't remember who they played before. It was like some random island country who had like 47,000 people as a population. And then they beat Trinidad yesterday and he had a hat trick. Yeah, that's the B team. That is not any of the main starters and young guys, people who is like, it's their first time playing for Team USA.
Now, is it Trinidad or is it Trinidad and Tobago still?
Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, want to snub our friends
from
Tobago.
It is both. Yes, okay. It is Trinidad and Tobago.
We got to be accurate. We are nothing if not accurate here on the Gym Class.
That is very true. We have a deep desire to make sure we have the most accurate information at all times.
We do. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on this Monday, back at full strength with you here on KGYM. And yesterday, Mark, was an amazing day. We don't usually get a Sunday like we had yesterday. And we're going to talk with Cal about Major League Baseball coming up in just a little bit, because there is plenty to talk about, including Mitch Keller making the All-Star team. But yesterday, you had three separate winners yesterday that each had great, great stories tied in with them. And you don't get that in a sports weekend very often. And I'm not even sure where to start as far as this goes. Probably the most popular was in Detroit, where the masses were all up in arms because of the fact that for the umpteenth time over the last handful of years, the PGA Tour pushed up tee times, knowing that severe weather was going to come in late in the morning and into the afternoon. Everybody got up in arms due to the fact that, oh my gosh, it's on tape delay and from 2 o'clock until 5 o'clock Central Time. And we already know who won, et cetera, et cetera. But at any rate, the big story is the Pied Piper of the PGA Tour. Speaking of orange, of which Isaac is proudly wearing today, get those Puma hats and orange gear ready to go back again, because for the first time in 4 years, arguably, and I don't even think it's arguably, he is the most popular player in the PGA Tour. Ricky Fowler gets a win.
It was wildly popular, and the way it happened was, yeah, we knew who won because of Twitter a couple, 3 hours earlier, but it didn't take away from my viewing. The shots that Ricky Fowler hit on 18 in regulation to get into a playoff and then somehow got a drop. But beyond that, hit a marvelous shot. And Morikawa, hit one fairly deep into the rough. And Ricky ends up draining it. And it was just, you could just feel the relief coming out of his body. And I got to say, he's close to the Ryder Cup team right now.
Making it on his own. But I think Zach's got a lot of good problems to have at this point, because he's got a lot of guys playing very, very good golf. And that includes a guy in the LIV Tour that won yesterday for the third time this year. And don't ask me how that's going to play out, because that's for another day and time. But Taylor Gooch again won yesterday at the LIV tournament. But Ricky Fowler, and we could see this trending upward, and there is nothing that gets people migrating to golf more than Ricky Fowler, especially the youngsters out there. Now, I will say this. CBS wanted Ricky to win very badly. They wanted him. They were rooting for Ricky pretty outright.
I think everybody was.
I think everybody was. And he's a Rocket Mortgage guy. He's their spokesman. And it was the Rocket Mortgage Classic. To be brutally honest with you, we're getting to the point in the calendar, and, you know, golf fans know that the John Deere Classic also kind of has to deal with this as well. A lot of youngsters, a lot of first, second-year pros, and that's the same thing they have in Detroit at Rocket Mortgage. Ricky wouldn't have been there if Ricky was not tied in with Rocket Mortgage, but he is. So he is there. Same thing with Colin Morikawa. They're there. They're the headliners, and Ricky came through. I don't like to see little kids rooting against other pros like they were showing, but I get it. I get it out there. 319-366-1600. Certainly the most popular win, I think, of the weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it was just, as you mentioned, one of three great stories. And, you know, you may not be into golf, you may not be into auto racing, but if you're not into great stories, that's too bad.
And two more great stories here at 314. Sticking with golf, you go up the road a little bit into the great state of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, Wisconsin, to be exact, at Century World. History made yesterday as well. Not only Ricky Fowler winning for the first time in 4 years, but even more historical, Bernhard Langer, who we have talked about before, Mark, maybe the most remarkable athlete in any sport that goes under the radar is Bernhard Langer. Two-time major champion during his, I will say, regular career as far as around the world and the PGA Tour is concerned. A couple of green jackets in there. He won the U.S. Senior Open yesterday at Century World in Stevens Point. Just shy of the age of 66. And in doing so, broke the record that was held by Hale Irwin. He had tied Hale Irwin back in, I think, February of this year for the most Champions Tour wins. So he breaks that with his 46th, becomes the oldest, obviously, to win a major championship conducted by the United States Golf Association. And does not look, I mean, this guy's in better shape than any of us here. And he's almost 66 years old. Just a crazy, crazy performance yesterday. Was iron sharp. It wasn't like the crowd was rooting against Bernhard Langer, but they were rooting big time for the two Scotties. We can say that. Jerry Kelly and, of course, Steve Stricker. But Bernhard Langer spoiled the party yesterday, and he sets some records that I don't think are going to be broken.
No, it was quite remarkable, and you don't want to, you know, create a list of under-the-radar champions like Langer, but the way he went about it, he doesn't have the picture-perfect swing. He has that whirly bird follow through sometimes, but he went into this tournament with a plan, hit a lot of three woods off the tee, was sharp in his iron game, and it was not an easy course by any means, but he ended up winning by two. I think he was up more than that, but he's a marvel. There's no other way to put it.
Just an amazing, amazing performance. Now, he did bogey the last three, but he was basically playing defensive golf, and he had a 7-shot lead going into that particular grouping of holes, 16, 17, and 18. It was very, very tough. Rough was very high up at Century World, and they really got that course toughened up. For the over 50 crowd in there, and Bernhard gets the victory, and just a great guy too, just a really, really great guy. And if that was not enough, just south of there, Mark, in Chicago, after the rain finally, well, sort of stopped a little bit, then you may have had the biggest upset of the weekend, and I'm not going to say this was the most popular. In fact, I think there's some grinding of teeth right now in NASCAR country. But then Shane Van Gisbergen, the Aussie, the V8 Supercar champion with over 80 wins in his career, very storied career down under. He was going to be one of those road course raiders that comes up, the one-off guys. Usually do somewhat well, but don't get victories. Well, Van Gisbergen did. He got the win at the Chicago Road Course race yesterday, which was it was something. We'll say that. It was something yesterday. Got off to a late start. The Xfinity race from Saturday night never got going after the 25th lap. They declared that race over. Most rain on July 2nd ever recorded in the city of Chicago. They had flooded streets, and they were explaining the fact that you can, yes, run street and road courses in the rain, but you can't when there is rain puddled all over the place, which it was. Got that taken care of. Was still wet at the beginning. You had... It was, I don't know, it went on whatever side of the spectrum that you reside on, Mark. But you can't take away the fact that Shane Van Gisbergen pulled off the stunner of all stunners, winning in his first NASCAR race for the first time in 60 years. You got to go back to one of the Races at Daytona in 1963, not the Daytona 500 itself, but the races to set the field when the great Johnny Rutherford, Lone Star JR, won in his first NASCAR start back in 1963. And this guy won going away. As soon as he got by Justin Haley on a restart with five to go, he was gone.
Yeah, I've made it known to you and others, Scott, that road races are not my thing. But I have to tell you, maybe because it was about the only thing on sports-wise, like, you know, early in the evening, I was entertained. Now, there was a lot of crashes and bumps and whatnot, but I thought the way Van Giesbergen navigated not only Justin Haley, but the field was masterful. Now, Scott.
Yes.
Is it a NASCAR race if a NASCAR guy doesn't win it?
Does a tree fall in the forest if you cannot hear it? Darn right it is. Now, technically, Van Giesbergen is eligible for the chase. Not heard any talk. I don't think he's going to do that. In fact, I'm 99.98% sure that he's not going to run the chase, but he is eligible for it now. But yeah, it's a win. Absolutely, it is a win. That guy dominated. He was incredible throughout the day. He knew what he was doing. I will say this. I'm about the race itself, and I'd love to hear from you. And we talked about this on Friday. That was going to be the part of the weekend I really wanted to see and check in with. 319-366-1600. What did you think? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Your thoughts about the Chicago street race. It wasn't what the they didn't get the crowd that they wanted due to the fact that it was basically a monsoon in Chicago yesterday. Got a really nice crowd on Saturday. Just walk up people, just hanging out in Grant Park, hanging out outside the turns, et cetera, peering in, whatnot. Didn't get that for the most part on Sunday. I knew it was going to be different for the NASCAR, not only drivers, but cars, because they have not had a chance. They basically had a couple of hours of practice at a street course event, and it is tough. And you could see that. And then you throw water in there, and you had a crash fest, certainly. But a lot of people like that. A lot of people go for that. And like you said, I think a lot of people were entertained. Now, as a technical person, was it a thing of beauty? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But road course and street course races, they're different than ovals, a lot more technical with your strategy and how you play it out. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment.
Well, you got to be able to turn right, right?
You got to right. You got to go left. You got to brake. You got to pass people in the braking zone. You got to set up people to pass. You could take, you know, two laps to figure out how to pass somebody. Then you got to throw fuel strategy in there. There's just a lot of things to go over in your mind. And as far as the pit box is concerned, at both the road course race, but I think especially a street race, then they got going at the end, and then they started stuffing cars into the tires left and right.
Well, do you think we will ever hear much more of Van Giesbergen in NASCAR?
I think that he's going to be around for some more road and street course races. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He did talk about last night the fact that the next thing he wants to do, he's also in line for some testing. He wants to do an oval in an IndyCar. So whatever that means, I don't know if it's not going to be at Iowa coming up this year. Probably not going to be at St. Louis at Gateway in August. So my thinking is he's thinking 2024. As far as that is concerned, it would be tough to try to get in and qualify for the Indy 500. Next year, of course, is the year of Kyle Larson at the 500, 2024 and 2025. Kyle Larson's already booked to run in the greatest spectacle in racing if he makes the field. Got to say that, but pretty good chance that Kyle Larson is going to do that. I think you're going to hear his name. He put his... if you are a racing aficionado, you already knew his name and how good he was in the supercars down in Australia. But now everybody knows about him.
You could have put him in a lineup, and I would have had no idea.
I think you put him in a lineup today, and people still would not have any idea who Shane Van Giesbergen is.
Yeah, he's a well-built guy with a beard, right?
True. Looks good. And... he can drive, man. He can drive. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program at KGYM. So there you go. That was your weekend. Three big-time stories, three different stories, but three big stories from the weekend. I don't know. Did you know who Shane Van Giesbergen was, Isaac?
No, I did not.
Okay. Are you rooting for him now?
Sure, I don't really know a ton of other drivers, so it'd be cool if this kind of launched something in the United States for him, right? I mean, it seems like NASCAR picked up a lot of traction yesterday, even though, you know, maybe the race was a little bit messy, and they probably would have preferred if it was a little drier out. It did seem like it was really popular among people who don't watch a ton of motor racing, so I think NASCAR is going to try to sort of ride that wave a little bit. I don't know if they're going to pump him in front of so much, but rather just try to ride the wave of popularity they're on right now.
Australia. At least,
and they definitely should.
This guy is from New Zealand.
Yes.
Isaac.
Oh, New Zealand. Well,
give me a capsule of New Zealand soccer.
Not great. Australia is usually the one who kind of dominates in the Oceania region. So New Zealand is a... I think their women's team's all right, if I remember correctly.
The Oceania region.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. There's like different, there's like Asia, and then I think there's like a different, like United States plays in CONCACAF is what it's called, and then there's like UEFA in Europe and stuff like that, but there's a region for Oceania that they all play for. I don't know what it's called. It's typically not produced a ton of talent.
They're rugby players.
Yeah, they play a lot of rugby, and they play it very intensely. From what I've seen, they take that way serious.
That's the sport down there, is rugby.
And they dominate. I'm pretty sure they're number one.
I think they are.
It's like rugby league. There's like three different types of rugby. I don't know. It's very confusing. I know soccer as far as world sports.
You don't know rugby?
Nope.
Okay.
Or I don't know, cricket. I couldn't even tell you how cricket operates.
No, it's like baseball.
Except it can take like days sometimes, I guess. I don't know. I'm sure some people like it out there, but a sport that can take days is just not something that interests me. Something that can take over like a week and stuff like that, I'm gonna pass on that.
There you go.
No pitch clock in cricket.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why it takes a day. I think they just hold the ball the entire time.
Of course, we are off tomorrow. It is the 4th of July. We wish everyone a happy 4th of July out there. And with that in mind, our poll question today, brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team in Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The age-old, traditional July 4th sporting event. Mark, it is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, of which I can watch for about 2 minutes, and then I check out, because I don't want to see them check out.
I will get to that at the bottom of the scoreboard, the poll question, that is.
Okay. Let's get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, which is... great food. See, how do you dig out of the hot dog eating contest and get to Emil's? Well, we're going to attempt to do it. Check out all the great food that they have that you do not have to eat in 0.7 seconds or whatever. at emilshideaway.com. They're open at 4 o'clock each and every day, and they're across from Lindale Mall on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids.
Former Iowa star Luca Garza has signed another two-way contract with the Minnesota Timberwolves, meaning he will play some of his games in Iowa, where he averaged 32 points a game. It is John Deere Classic Week, and the tournament begins Thursday. But prior to that, Wednesday morning, it is the much-anticipated exhibition with Caitlin Clark and Zach Johnson. Again, that's Wednesday morning. In terms of the field, Zach Johnson, of course, in it. Steve Stricker, a mainstay and contender in the senior PGA or senior U.S. Open, not in the field, Scott.
Interesting.
Finally, Joey Chestnut Day tomorrow. Joey Chestnut seeks his 16th hot dog eating contest title. Reading a story today, the man is worth $4 million as a competitive eater.
Huh.
Poll question at KGYMRadio.com has to do with tomorrow's event. It's brought to you, not the hot dog eating contest, but the poll brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. How many hot dogs could you eat in 10 minutes? Four choices, 1, 2 to 5, 6 to 10. Move over, Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, no one's answering that that part of it. Go ahead and vote at KGYMRadio.com. I'm going to say 1, and I'm savoring the hot dog. I'm going to savor the hot dog. I don't want to eat 5 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Call me strange, but I don't like hot dogs.
You don't like hot dogs?
Give me a good brat. But no hot dogs, please.
I would rather have a brat, but if the hot dog is there, you know, I mean, you can dress it up a little bit, a little mustard on the dog, maybe some onions. Onions and mustard, that's usually my go-to. What do you like, Isaac, on your dog?
Yeah, usually just ketchup and mustard. Don't try to overcomplicate it too much.
I'm not a ketchup on the hot dog guy.
Well, I am. I don't think it's too bad.
Okay, that's all right.
I answered this with Spencer. I could probably get 2 in 10 minutes and feel fine. 3, and I would feel a little sick afterwards.
A little bloated.
Yeah, a little bit. 4, and I think an extra hot dog would come up, so I'd be back down to 3.
Like I said, I think it is Americana at its best, unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you see the hot dog eating contest. 2 minutes and I'm done. I don't need to see the gruesome details after that.
Yeah, it's a tough watch, I think, for me personally. I'm sure there's some fans out there that find it fascinating, but for me, it is, tune in, I'm like, man, I don't ever want to eat anything ever again.
Done.
I'm good. Never. I'm not going to eat any hot dogs ever after what I just saw.
The best part of this whole thing is the introductions of the competitors,
yes,
right?
Yes, that is the best part. You must see that because that is awesome. They do a tremendous job. I don't know who that gentleman is, but he is really good. Really.
Oh, he's into it, believe me.
He is. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Cal Eldred will join us to talk some Major League Baseball when we come back here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm Kason Ferris with a check of your forecast. Mostly sunny, warm, and a bit humid for your Monday afternoon. Highs will be reaching near 90 degrees. Mostly clear skies overnight. Temperatures will be falling back into the mid-60s. Sunshine sticking around for your Tuesday, as well as the warm and even humid conditions. Highs will be back into the lower 90s. However, as we head towards your Tuesday night, showers and thunderstorms begin to arrive, and those will linger into Wednesday as well. Highs on Wednesday a bit cooler, only near 82 degrees. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Welcome to Money Mondays with Farmer State Bank. FSB wants to supercharge your week, so grab your coffee and get ready for a financial jumpstart with these helpful Money Mondays tips from our experts at FSB.
We know you're not a banker, and your life is busy, but you need to take care of those finances too. Hi, I'm Jason Naber with FSB. Our personal bankers are here to help. You might be asking yourself, are all these credit cards I have affecting my credit, and would consolidating them be better for me? Well, what does financial wellness even look like to me? Well, we're happy to work with you and find the perfect products to work towards your financial goals.
Money Mondays, getting your week off and running with intelligent financial advice to help you get ready for what's next. Farmers State Bank, providing you with faster answers, stronger partnerships, and better banking solutions. Explore your future with FSB at myfsbonline.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Network Computer Solutions, this is Patty.
When you call NCS, Patty answers the phone, looks into your concern, and lets you know how soon one of their local techs will help. It's the human side of IT, and the way Network Computer Solutions has been doing business for 15 years. This high-touch approach makes an uncustomary difference for their customers. See how they can make your business run smoother at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions, their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
3:35 back with you. It is a gym class for a Monday, July 3rd here on KGYM. Thanks for joining us. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, and Isaac with you. And gentlemen, should we do a... Isaac, we may have you go in and do a welfare check in the sports office because the Brewers have just come up with a bases clearing double to tie the Cubs at 6-6. So I...
You think there's some fighting going on
back
there?
I don't know.
Maybe?
I think we should send you
it's
back
quite
there.
Possible. It is quite possible.
One of them may be lying on the floor.
I can go check, make sure. I hope that there's a... Yeah, there might not be a Todd Brommelkamp show today if there is some argument, if there is some fighting going on back there.
We kid. 6-6 with the Brewers and the Cubs right now. That up in Milwaukee. And 10-10 between Houston and Texas. Playing in the top of the eighth inning, that one down in Arlington, Texas, as a couple games underway on this July 3rd. And like we said, we usually talk with Cal on Tuesdays, but that is going to be the 4th of July. So Cal is very, very nicely volunteered to come on with us on a Monday this week. Happy 4th of July to you, Cal.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate that. Same to you guys.
You bet. And that means we are about at the halfway pole of the 2023 Major League Baseball season. And now things get serious, right?
Well, now the month of July quickly becomes who do you want to trade for and who do you want to trade? And I know that maybe we're getting ahead of the discussion, but some of that's already happened. And it does get serious right now because if you look at these divisions and how tight some of them are, an addition here or there to a pitching staff and putting the right person in an offensive lineup can make a difference the rest of the way out, no doubt.
Hey, Cal, most of the power rankings, such as they are, have Atlanta a clear number one, and I think we'd all agree on that. Who would you put it to, the Rangers or the Rays?
Boy, I'll tell you, I think I would put the Rangers at number two only because there's a little bit of a question about as great as McClanahan has been, there's a little bit of question of his health, and they're getting starting pitching back, Tampa is, but I think Texas already showed that they're going to add to their team, but I think right now, Mark, I would put Texas to start. Their offense is firing on all cylinders, and then they go out and get Aroldis Chapman, and that helps them in the bullpen.
It does. It does help them quite a bit. And Arizona just continues to win. Three-game lead night now in the Dodgers. Giants continue to be right there. They are surprising people, and then you got the Padres, but like we've been talking about, this Arizona team, young team. I know Marte did not make the All-Star game, which is kind of a sad situation right there, but I don't think anyone in Arizona is not going to trade that for the 50-35 record that they have right now.
Well, no, and I think you do give Arizona and their front office some credit. The kids they're bringing up, a number of the young pitchers that are coming up came from their system. They made a nice trade. Even though giving up the young catcher and outfielder Varsho to Toronto, they did pick up Lourdes Gurriel Jr., and he ends up making an all-star team. And one of their former first-round picks, who was a high school kid, Corbin Carroll, is a rookie who's starting in the all-star game. So, and their pitching's been stellar. They have all facets of the game that they play extremely well. What'll be interesting is to see exactly what Arizona thinks they may need to add to stay in front of the Dodgers in San Francisco, because San Francisco, like you said, Scott, they're not going anywhere. They're playing some good baseball.
Cal, how about your reaction to Cedar Rapids' Mitch Keller making the All-Star team? I know you spent a pretty fair amount of time with him.
Yeah, you know what, Mark? I'll tell you, the first and foremost thing that everybody needs to know about Mitch Keller is he's one of our own here from Iowa, obviously, but he's a great kid, extremely hard worker, and sometimes those things, you can be both of those things and not make an all-star team, and sometimes you don't get rewarded, and I think he's being rewarded for a lot of hard work that he's put in, for the ability that some God-given ability that he has. But I know how hard it is for a kid to leave any high school, let alone a high school in Iowa, and head into pro ball and work his way through the minor leagues, have some bumps and bruises for a year or two in the big leagues. And when Mitch left here, his idea asking him, how are you going to get guys out? And I think that's a question I like to ask a lot of these guys, because they need to know who they are and how they get people out. And he's like, I need to get in the strike zone, and I need to let my stuff work in the strike zone. Well, 9-3 with a 3.34, 105 innings pitched and 118 strikeouts, and he's making his 18th start today against the Dodgers. So not an easy task, but I'm telling you, it's a pretty special thing, probably more special than a lot of people think, but it's really cool for him and his family.
Yeah, it is, and not to dwell on the fact that his numbers could be even better, but there have been at least three missed wins that the Pirate bullpen has cost Mitch. And you know, that's baseball. That's the way it goes a little bit. But just think what it could be right now, what his numbers could look like.
Well, and you know, Scott, you know how it is. You're McClanahan's leading baseball with 11 wins and as a starting pitcher, and you put – you know, at least two more wins on Mitch and him having a chance to win his 10th game before the All-Star break. This is a great thing. I mean, this is, you know, the kind of thing that adds so much confidence to a young player's mind and in his heart. And he knows they know they're good now. And he's known he's good. He just has wanted to put it together. And doesn't have to be an All-Star to put it together. He's had a heck of a first half of the season.
Cal, I was watching the Twins, not surprisingly, and heard Dick Bramer and Justin Morneau talking about the All-Star break for non-All-Stars. I mean, you might finish a series in Tampa, and your next series is a couple, 3 days later, and who knows where, Arizona or whatever. What's been your experience? You didn't make the All-Star team. Maybe you're a coach. What is that time like?
Well, it's when you're a starting pitcher, you right away you want to know when am I starting next. And so sometimes that can be a gap as much as 8 or 9 days for some guys. So some guys can take a little bit of a break when that's the situation. And sometimes you do that as an organization just to give a guy a little bit of a break. Other times, and I've had this happen to me quite a few times, you start very close to the All-Star break and you're starting the first game after the break. So in essence, there's not much of a break. But the only thing is, and I'm curious to see, Mark, if they mentioned the travel, because a lot of players travel home. They try to see their families in a in a 1 or 2 day rush, and then you're going back, like you said, who knows, you might have been in Tampa and then you're going to be in Seattle. You just don't know. There's a lot of travel that goes on. So you have to be careful not to, one, wear yourself out during the All-Star break, which sounds crazy, but also you just got to be prepared when you come back, because that next game is extremely important.
And they've done, I think Major League Baseball has done a benefit to the players and coaches. I mean, it used to be you were back on the diamond on Thursday, and now it's kind of been pushed to Friday for the most part. So you get an extra day. I think that's great. I know you probably thought that was great the last handful of years.
No doubt, Scott, especially. And I was spoiled. I was. If we were playing at home, whenever I was a player or even when I was coaching, I'm 4 or 5 hours from home. And so sometimes, not sometimes, every time you can get home and relax, sleep in your own bed a couple nights, see your kids, see your wife, see your family, it's a relaxing, energizing time. At least it always was for me.
Kyle, I was doing a little reading over the weekend and came across this nugget. 60 years ago, Sandy Koufax, towards the end of his career, met up with Juan Marichal in a game. Each pitched 16 innings and threw well over 200 pitches. Does that make your arm tired?
There's no doubt that makes my arm tired. When I think about those things, that you automatically, as a guy who pitched, you think about when did I come even close to that? And even though we say things are different today with starting pitchers not going deep into games, not throwing, most guys don't throw more than 90 pitches in a start today. You think, well, wouldn't, and I can only think about a stretch in 94, I believe, 93 or 94, I think it was 94, where had six straight starts. There were five complete games. The average pitch count was over 135 pitches. And if you would do that to a player today, Mark, you might lose your job.
Yeah.
You just might. And I think back, though, I really do think back, there are times when I feel like I could have thrown that many pitches. Now, what was the cost down the road? You don't know. But it's there are a few human beings on this planet that God put on this planet that can throw a lot of pitches at one time. And they, those guys had, you know, deliveries that they stayed in. They knew their stuff, and the ears are different. But when I hear that kind of stuff, that's so impressive. I would have loved to have been there to watch that.
Cal Elder joining us. It is a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM, since we are off tomorrow due to the 4th of July holiday. And we talk with Cal every other Tuesday, talk Major League Baseball. And here we are. We've been 10 minutes or so into it, and we have not mentioned Shohei Ohtani. And shame on us for not doing that. Best year I think he's had as far as both hitting and pitching. His in 2023. He is on a absolute tear right now. 31 home runs. I mean, you double that up, you're looking at in the 60s, which is pretty amazing. But he leads in home runs, he leads in RBIs, he leads in slugging percentage, he leads on OBS right now at over one, and doing great things on the mound as well. I think this is the best we are seeing right now. I think the top of the mountain for this guy.
Yeah, and you know what, Scott? The amazing thing is I try to pay attention to whether the MLB selected the player to the All-Star game when I think about All-Stars, but the players selected him as a pitcher.
Yep.
And that's how nasty they think this guy is, and he is that nasty. And you're thinking, and you're right. We're kind of go, well, he's done a nice job as a pitcher. But yet his offensive numbers are outrageous, and I saw his home run last night. They just keep going further. He is so hard to pitch to at times, and he has long lever arms, so long arms, long legs, runs extremely fast. So he gets the pitches to foul pitches off. That's just as important as hitting the ball hard. At times he fouls pitches off that should have gotten him out, and they don't. And then you got to make another pitch to him, and unfortunately, at times if you're a fan, fortunately makes guys pay, unless you're rooting for the other team. But he's an amazing player, and it's so fun to watch. And both him and Mike Trout having really good years, and that's why the Angels are still only six games back of a Texas team that has played extremely well.
Cal, the MLB draft coming up, and I know you were drafted both out of high school and college. Curious if you were tempted to sign out of high school.
I was at the time. It was 1986, and the Mets actually had a pretty good team. I was asked to go to New York and actually throw in the bullpen for their coaching staff, and then sit and watch a game. And I turned that down because of the Legion team I was on was in the playoffs, and that was more important to me at the time. And I know Ken Sharper and Jim Vanscoy were probably happy about that, but I didn't. You know, my teammates they supported me, and I wanted to support them. But it was tempting, but I knew that was when it really came down to it. I knew I was young, physically wasn't ready to go, was really needing to mature, both as a person and as a player, without a doubt. And my wife would tell you that she was a junior in high school, Mark and Scott. So she says that she's the reason I didn't sign and stayed close to home.
I very well put, and I would agree with her. Was that Legion Red?
Yes, it was Legion Red.
No okay. Doubt. Yeah. Legion Blue was they had them all. I know they had different schools going to different places, so I assume that was Red because we were Blue, so – different times,
yeah,
man.
No doubt. It was we had all the farm kids, the little school kids sprinkled in with some Jefferson, some Prairie kids, and it was LaSalle kids. So it was a lot of fun. Blue team had a great team too. So it was a lot of good baseball.
A lot of good baseball. Hey, before Mark's next question, Justin on the text line with a very good point here. Yes, Braves are playing very well right now, led by Ronald Acuna Jr.
You know, you think about the Braves and you think about the fact that they sent a Freddie Freeman's in L.A. He's going to the All-Star game. Dansby Swanson's in Chicago. He's going to the All-Star game. And yet you look at all the All-Stars, it's kind of Texas against Atlanta in the All-Star game. But Atlanta's, and looking at this, they've had 3 8-game winning streaks already in the first half, and their month of June was phenomenal. So they're putting it together. They're using some young pitching to do it too. So it's been very impressive.
I don't know what's on the Eldred Grill tomorrow, Cal, but our poll question is, how many hot dogs could you eat in 10 minutes? The choices are 1, 2 to 5, 6 to 10, or move over, Joey Chestnut.
I could easily get 6 to 10.
Really?
Yeah, no doubt. A grilled hot dog, it would be the buns that would get me, obviously. But a grilled hot dog, I don't sit in the stands at baseball games very much, and you guys know that. But when I go to a ball game, I want to have a hot dog. But if they're grilled, I can put them down pretty good.
Okay. There you go. Cal takes the lead here in the studio.
I wouldn't want to do that, but.
We get it. Before we let you go, our biweekly question, odds of the American League Central winner being over 500 here on July 3rd at the end of the year?
Man. It's frustrating because you just see teams. Cleveland should play better. Minnesota should play better. And even the White Sox to me are a better team than what they go to and lose a series in Oakland, and you see them lose those games. But the odds are slim, guys. It's looking that way. And I think part of it is what is the balanced schedule. I mean, you're not going to get away with being mediocre in the game today. You're just not going to do it. And right now, I think some of these teams thought, well, we can we can be mediocre. We're better than mediocre, but they're really not. And, you know, and when these teams right now, any of these teams in the Central, in the American League Central, have injuries, it really hurts them because of their lack of depth.
It does. It does. Well, we'll cross our fingers, continue to hope against all hope, but we'll see. All right. Enjoy the fourth, Cal. We'll talk in a couple of weeks, and looking forward to that. Enjoy the baseball.
Yes, enjoy the baseball and enjoy the 4th of July, and we all live in the best country in the world, so have a great time.
No doubt. Thank you. Cal Elder joining us every other Tuesday, but Monday this week here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Quick break, come back to wrap things up, and we'll do it right after this.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, where you make five picks against the spread each week with 100% payback. Or join Circa Survivor, where you select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all. $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Now at Menards, get 11% off everything for your next project. It's the perfect time for kitchen updates during Menards' 4th of July household appliance sale. Plus, get 11% off the largest in-stock appliance selection. Right now, save over $1,500 on a Maytag fingerprint-resistant 4-piece stainless steel appliance suite after sale price and rebate. Good through July 9th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Back with you to wrap things up on the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott and Mark, Isaac with you. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. Chris Liss will join us. Get your fantasy baseball questions ready to go. If you have a fantasy football question, get that ready to go as well. And don't forget, Todd Brommelkamp Show from 4 until 6 to wrap up local programming today. And we got a couple of baseball games coming your way tomorrow for you. We've got Baltimore and the Yankees at 11:30. Atlanta at Cleveland at 5 o'clock. So some good baseball for the 4th of July coming up tomorrow. And what's your plan tomorrow, Mark? Grilling tomorrow?
We haven't really set one, but it'll be fun nonetheless and probably loud.
Loud and fun. Grilling tomorrow, Isaac?
I don't think so. Probably go over to my girlfriend's mom's and just hang out there for the day, play games, do whatever.
All right, we'll have fun. Everybody be safe out there, and yes, designate a driver if you need to do so, et cetera, et cetera. Be careful if you have a sparkler or something a little bit more powerful than a sparkler, and we'll be back with everyone on Wednesday. It's been the Gym Class here on KGYM.
It's Wrangler season out there. T-shirt days, denim jacket nights.